bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Mac is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting solutions.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network. I nearly said bagel again there. Bugger, that's getting hard. We're here to discuss the week's Mac news, as ever. Fantastic panel. Joining me, Ewan Rankin, top left-hand side, Chris Forsman. How you doing, bud?
Hey, doing the same as I was earlier.
Good lad, good lad. Comcast problems prevailing, but we're going to make it through the next hour without a Comcast interruption. Yeah, right.
I think so.
Like that's
Comcast. Comcast Bill says he's on the job.
Is he like TSA Bob? Are they brothers?
Well, Comcast has a whole team of people who monitor Twitter, and just when people gripe about Comcast, they
are just like, thinking,
what can we do to help? So
talking crap on Twitter might be a family business. That was all. Next to Chris, the fantastic Andy and Atco.
Hello.
No Dexter cap yet, mate.
Not yet. I'm looking for it. I'm still being held like DNA blood splatter analysis.
Yeah. If so, it is, isn't it? You must wear it for us when you get it there, pal.
I must wear it for you, or like get up early enough that I can actually like wash my hair and comb it in time for the show. I haven't managed to do that yet, but
don't worry.
Even with the move to 10:30 and the extra time zone giving it to 11:30, I still wind up like not waking up early enough to shower and wash my hair. And
sorry, not combing your hair is a metaphor for a lot of things on this show, mate. Don't worry. Now the serendipity is quite astounding, because this is the last official weekend of the Bagel Tech Network. It's disappearing next weekend, and you were here, of course, to open the big show several years back. So the circle is complete, mate.
Become death, destroyer of podcast.
Beneath Mr. Inatco, we've got a welcome return for our long-lost son, Carl Swagger. How you doing, mate?
Yeah,
I'm doing well. Thank you.
The voice of the NBA returns to the network. How's
at least
things?
Over here.
Yeah.
Things are good. Things are good. Things are busy. Things are good. And I'm just jealous of about, I don't know, how many countries have the iPad right now?
Yeah, but you've got to be feeling pretty good about your predictions so far this year.
Well, I've had a lot of help with that. I didn't do that entirely on my own. So
No, you've had inside information. We all know that.
Yeah.
But you've not been. I mean, you were spot on with the near retina thing.
I suppose
they hid behind. Yeah, they hid behind the extra distance, mate, to kind of qualify you out of that. So
yeah, that's true.
All you've got to do now is get a TV for yourself announced before the end of May, and you're $40 the better as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, though. But I know the TV is going to happen, but I don't know if it's going to be May. So I'm not feeling confident in May anymore, but we'll see. Okay. We'll see. Yeah, I'll owe Andy. Yeah, and I feel strange, though. I don't know why. It's an American guy from the Philippines on a British tech podcast.
Well, the thing is, we're a British tech podcast, the British Tech Network coming up, and I'm the only Brit. And I was only going to be the only Brit as well, because Dr. Happy Mac's not turned up. So... what a British network this is. Huzzah.
Might as well call it the Yankee News Network.
Yankee News. Oh, there you go. Well, I got the title with it anyway. Yeah, unless we get better than that. The week in Apple. First things first, we're a week into iPad. So you've had that kind of the honeymoon phase. It's probably worn off. You no longer want to sleep with your iPad. You've started to find a few glitches with it. Particularly thinking of you, Andy, because you look at it more from a very critical viewpoint compared to me, who's an absolute file for our Apple stuff. So, you know, any cracks starting to appear in the iPad facade, or is it still going strong for you? Do you still love it?
Nope, still love it. The difference in the Retina display is that, like I said last week, I'm just finding things that were kind of marginal functions for the iPad 2 work much, much better on the new iPad. Things like VNC, things like comic book reading, things like photo editing, anything related to photography. The only the great thing about writing about these things in a modern age is that you do have your pool of sources increases from dozens to thousands, and now I'm getting lots of feedback from people at all levels about the experiences that they're having, which gives me like sort of mandates to say, well, now I got to really double check on this heating problem. because I did do a heat test on it, tried to do whatever I could to get it to as badly as I could, like during the first weekend. And like most people, I suppose I could sort of notice that there is a little bit of extra heat in that corner of the iPad, but it's just a little bit warmer. It's not really overheating.
You kind of called that as a bit BS, really, haven't you? So,
I wouldn't call it BS because I have not only have I been hearing from people who specifically said no, it was too hot to touch. It actually got the warning saying I'm sorry, I'm too hot, the device is too hot, and now I can't continue work anymore. I've also heard from people who I probably can't talk about it, but I know
nearly.
I'm doing that rare thing where I'm watching myself say something before I say it, and then trying to fast forward from now when I shouldn't talk about it. But the thing is, it is really happening to some people. But as hard as I'm trying to make my own device overheat, and I'm talking about not everything short of actually putting it inside an oven. I mean, every time I think that I've isolated every single variable, I think, well, what if you had it on AirPlay and you're using you're gaming over AirPlay and the that when you work I one test where it was just I need to game for 2 hours with the cover still on so it's insulating in the heat. I also need to try it with the screen brightness all the way up, and then even that didn't give me anything instead of two sore hands. So what I think it is that this is a problem that affected earlier, so that has popped up once or twice before, some sort of a really subtle software bug that prevents the CPU from engaging in its own like self-defense measures of saying, well, I need an underclock for a second so I can cool down a little bit. I think that there's some bit of software or some really weird edge case sort of use in which the wrong things happen in exactly the right ways to cause the CPU really happening to some people. They're not imagining it, but if it were a design defect or a fundamental problem with the operating system or the hardware, we'd be seeing far, far more problems than we're actually seeing. And also it'd be possible to find a set of circumstances under which random QJoe could actually reproduce this. So it's real for some people. I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of a firmware update or some sort of an OS update in the next few weeks. The interesting thing, this isn't really locked into the new iPad, but Apple really does look at these things really carefully. It's one of the many benefits they have of having the Apple stores. Every time there's a new piece of hardware, especially a new piece of mobile hardware, every Genius Bar is given sort of a wish list from Apple engineering saying, we want to capture 10 devices from your store that have been dropped and the screen broke. We want to capture 10 devices that have been exposed to moisture. We want to capture X devices that are shutting, 5 devices that can't connect to Wi-Fi, 3 devices that for whatever reason can't connect to LTE, because they know that in those first 3 weeks, they're going to be getting back all these, if they get all these devices back, they can really look at the engineering of this device, figure out what was going right, figure out if there was anything that was going wrong, or if there's anything they need to fix to the initial run.
It sounds funny to me. It's like we're all beta testing the iPad 3.
I mean, when you have 1,000 of these out in the field, and now you have millions of these out in the field. But that's why I tell people that no matter what happens to your new iPhone or iPod or iPad in the first 2 or 3 weeks of release, even if it was your own stupid damn fault, take it back to the Apple store, be honest what happened. I think that there is definitely a greater chance that if you accidentally drop your iPad and broke the screen, there's a greater chance that they'll get a free swap out in the first 2 or 3 weeks of release, because Apple is going to be interested in seeing why didn't this thing survive intact? According to the report, it was only dropped about a foot onto what should have been a wooden surface of a table. It really shouldn't have broken. So we want to learn about what happened so we can sort of not make that mistake the next time.
Andy, whenever we talk, you're dropping out completely. I think you've got like a bit of a sound suppression going on with Skype somewhere. Chris, what's your opinions?
Or Comcast.
Or Comcast, yeah. Chris, what's your opinion so far a week in?
I love it. I mean, I already liked the iPad. I would say now I probably love it.
Oh, really?
I mean, the camera is awesome. The screen is awesome. And those were like the two, I guess, my two main gripes about you know, the iPad, you know, and more to do with anything is, you know, I've got an iPhone 4. I mean, once you get used to a Retina display, it's really hard to, you know, to switch. It was really hard to go from using my iPhone during the day and then like maybe picking up my iPad in the evening and doing something. And I know for me, like, I am just personally real sensitive to those visual differences, and the Retina screen on the iPad eliminates all that. I mean, I pick up an iPhone, I pick up an iPad. They're both super sharp. Text is so readable. I mean, even at small sizes, you know, the camera's really improved, and it's pretty much equivalent to the iPhone 4. And so if you use that, you know what you're getting, and it's fine. I mean, it's not like earth shattering or anything, but it is really nice to use, to have that giant screen as a viewfinder. You know, and I mean, if you've ever used very few people have, but if you've ever used an 8x10 view camera, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When you say you are seeing what you're getting, and it's really nice. So I mean, I just find it just actually more pleasurable. I use it now more than I use my iPad too.
No.
Especially for reading.
Well, I feel a bit guilty because, of course, Kyle's not physically possible for him to get hold of an iPad unless he wants to part with his firstborn child.
I don't have any children, but you know, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, for you, you're going from iPad 1 to iPad 3, and you were talking about iPad 2. I mean, what's the
Well, you know, it was funny about this, and we're all. Don't get me wrong. I have seen the screens because, you know, they are out and about here. There's a place here called Green Hills and all that. So I have seen them throughout the week. I've dropped by and I've seen the screen. Stunning. Mm. It's absolutely stunning. And Forsman is right. When you look at the iPhone 4 and you jump over to the iPad, you can see a difference. My question is, though, is it a big enough difference for people out there that, say, didn't have an iPad 2? That, you know, you're seeing so many things. The benchmark tests on these things are very similar. We're finding out that the RAM seems to be basically to run the screen. The extra processing power for the dual core graphics is for the screen. And really, when you're putting them side by side, they're almost identical when it comes to performance of these things. And even, you know, yeah, I had an iPad 1. I sold the iPad 1. One of the things I regretted in my entire life, but I did get a Mac out of doing it. So, you know, I guess it outweighs it. But the thing about it is, though, do I go to an iPad 3 or do I save the money? I guess it's like over here, it's about $150 less. I guess it would be on sale right now with the iPad 2. I think it's personal preference. If you're absolutely needing that screen, then yeah, you probably should wait for the iPad 3 or pay out the butt if you can't get it yet. What country you're from? Probably just the Philippines now. And if you're looking for an iPad experience and you're wanting, and you know, the wallet's, you know, the bank's a little tight right now, I don't see a problem with the iPad 1 iPad 2. I feel that the price drop, I think Apple is going to sell a lot of those as well. It was nice. I mean, they did it for the iPad 1, but the iPad 2, that was a jump in performance. That was a jump in design. That was a complete overhaul. And we didn't really get that this time. We got a jump in the screen and we got a jump in the camera. Yeah, we got some RAM. Yeah, we got a little bit better quad-core graphics on there quad-core graphics. But personally, I'm not... I wanted more out of the three, and it's made me question enough to actually go out and think, do I want a two or do I want a three? Do I want to save money or do I just want to, you know, just go all out and get the three? And more than likely, if you're an Apple fanboy or you love everything Apple, you'll go get the three regardless if you had the two or not. But I honestly, after so many reviews I've seen, so many things I've seen on YouTube, they're almost identical except for that damn screen. It's the damn screen.
Go ahead, Andy.
So you've got an iPad 1 now?
Yeah, I had.
Yeah. I had an iPad 1. Yeah, I got rid because I never used it, you know. And then I upgraded to, you know, or got a Mac out of it. So I haven't had the iPad experience for about a year now.
Okay, so you don't have any iPad at all, and you're thinking, do I want a 2 or a 3?
Yeah.
Because the two is going to be more of an upgrade. I mean, basically, the iPad 3 is everything the 2 would be for you, plus the better screen and camera. So, I mean, I would say for anyone who's got an iPad 1, getting an iPad 3 is the way to go.
Yeah, plus the problem with the iPad 2 is that, remember, it's only available in 16 gigabytes. You can't get it with the extra storage. It really makes it into a different...
But it that's also, the go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry, because you kind of keep cutting out. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Cutting out. But the other thing is that it really does show you that all these individual features of the upgrade are so particular to an individual user, because I was saying exactly the same things that you were last year with the iPad 2. I bought the iPad 1 64 gig 3G model and saw the iPad 2, and I'm saying, well, it's thinner, but I don't really care about that. That's not a feature really, because it's already thin and light. The screen is exactly the same. It has a camera that's really useful for doing anything but FaceTime, and I don't use it that way. It's a faster processor, but it's not as though I'm doing like ray tracing on this device where I really need that kind of high performance. So I happily gave that one a miss. Whereas I think I'm going to definitely buy an iPad 3 in about a month or two, because it is that damn display. It makes a lot of other things possible. Different device.
It's funny you say that though, Andy, because I know in the States right now, correct? It is just 16 gigabyte that's available, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Over here, we still have the 64 gig and we still have the 32 gig, and they've all had a price drop over here.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant buying like the brand new thing from the Apple store. Yeah, there are still stocks. So there are some retailers that still have stock of the iPad 2, 32, and 64. But even so, I find it hard to $100 and you get so much more than you would get beforehand. And you'd have to, for over here, I think that you'd have to, that $100 would have to be really, really important to you for you to forego the third generation hardware. And go with the iPad 2. And I'm not saying there are a lot of people for whom that $100 is really, I mean, they're stretching things just to be able to afford a $399 tablet, let alone anything else.
Right.
People, like a lot of the people in this conversation, this iPad is like, it is actually work hardware. It's actually something that I travel with and I actually work with. So I can justify that extra $100.
Interesting. Everything's just crashed. All of the web browsers I had open with all the stories have all disappeared entirely. So has anyone got a story from Apple this week they want to talk about? Oh, and Kyle's gone as well, just for good measure.
We could carry on with the iPad a little bit more and talk about how the first weekend Apple sold 3 million of them.
3 million iPads in 3 days. The serendipity, you know, 3 million in 3 days is a lovely, lovely figure to bounce around, isn't it? I mean, there's an enormous amount of money coming in there. The cash flow must be pretty good at the minute.
$100 million, $100 billion,
and rising.
Isn't that right?
And rising.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to just restart Logic here because this is crazy. Everything is gone.
Apple admits that the new printer protocol doesn't work with the old original ImageWriter. Scoop.
Right. Okay. Right. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, most, if not all of those sessions are also under a non-disclosure agreement. So it's like, even if you could get in there and you could learn stuff, you know, you can't report about it if you ever want to hear from Apple ever again. So it's...
Well, there are people who much rather like be first out there to like get a really high traffic article. And Gizmodo probably doesn't really worry about their future relationship with Apple, for instance. And also, even if it's very, very easy to be in there covered by an NDA and then put your journalist hat back on the sidewalk and find a source for that same information that's not covered by the NDA that you signed with Apple. So, I mean, if you were that kind of journalist, you could weasel your way out of it. For me, I've never been in the business of saying I'm the first person to tell you about a rumor that's about a year off. So it's never been, it's more attractive for me to be there for the keynote, but also to be there just to socialize and have lunch with people and learn about 100 projects that are not directly related to Apple.
I mean, one of the things that was interesting was that at the keynote for iPad 3, Tim definitely left off with this idea, you know, we're just getting started. There's tons of stuff in the pipeline coming down the tracks. A lot of that is going to affect developers because they're looking for people to develop applications for it or front ends for it. And are we going to get any more products up before June 11th that they're then going to qualify within WWDC, or are we going to get something that's kind of teased as because Apple don't do the tease, do they? But I'm just thinking that this statement about I've got so much stuff coming down the pipe, the developers are the ones that are going to be hit with the implementation problem. And what's going to happen between now and June 11th with new products or new ideas that they're going to have to respond to?
I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say,
Chris is gone.
Okay.
It's our day today, isn't it? Jesus.
The only thing I was going to say is what I still feel that's firmly true that we're going to be seeing at the WWDC is this rumored 7-inch tablet. I mean, I've heard confirmation June 26th launch date. So if that's going to be announced, I mean, to me, that's the time to announce that. And you've got a dual platform. That's where your developers are. That's who's going to be doing it. And I still firmly, I'm feeling more and more confident about that 7-inch coming out, because I think if Apple hits that market where it'll kill the Kindle, because I think the Kindle is a bit of a competition right now. It's cheap. Browse the web. You can do the stuff. You've got access to apps, books, all of that. I mean, to me, it's their biggest competition. Not that it's a big competition, but I think if they can corner that market, you know, Why not? People want an affordable. They want an affordable Apple tablet that just says Apple on it. Yeah, I got an Apple product.
Mr. Anatko is itching to come in here. Go ahead, mate.
No, well, first of all, when you use words like confirmed and you actually issue a date, that I know that you're not pulling that out of your butt, and I also probably know that you probably can't say how you've confirmed that and where you got that from. So that definitely ups the stakes of the conversation. But from I don't have any sources like that. I haven't heard any confirmation like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just prefacing by saying I'm not saying that you're full of crap. I'm saying that I have to go with what I'm familiar with. And I just don't know that Apple's under any pressure right now to do a 7-inch tablet. They're definitely under pressure to do a cheaper iPad, and they did that with the iPad 2. Also, I think that if they were to do a 7-inch tablet, the time to launch it would definitely be closer to August or September. They want people to hear about it right at the time when they're buying things for the holidays. Although the synchronicity with June 22 might be they can't really talk about this device until they tell developers, by the way, we're going to have a new screen resolution, we're going to have a new screen size you're going to have to report. At that point, the cat's out of the bag, so you may as well start taking in money for it. But the only thing that really drives me to be skeptical about a 7-inch iPad is that, again, I don't see where they're feeling any pressure about it. Tim Cook, in his analyst call a couple months ago, was asked directly about the Kindle Fire, and stated to stockholders and analysts that we've looked at the numbers, we believe that the iPad is cannibalizing sales slightly from our own notebooks. We don't believe that the Kindle Fire is cannibalizing sales from the iPad whatsoever. So unless they really thought they were leaving money on the table, or unless they really thought that they're about to feel some hurt from a 7-inch $200 Android tablet, again, I really need to see something firmer on that until I'm willing to think that, yeah, maybe that really is a real thing.
I mean, a lot of the things that they're rumouring at the moment are definitely screen resolution-based issues. High-res Macs, 14-inch MacBook Airs, TVs, pads.
Like a Retina version of the 11-inch Air, because that's a device that really does need a Retina display. I wrote about this a couple times this week without really making that connection, that saying that, gee, the reason why I actually prefer the iPad to the 11-inch Air is because, God, it's hard to scale the macOS down to an 11-inch display. It doesn't work as well as it does in the 13-inch. So if they were to put Retina on an 11-inch MacBook Air, that would really change the tenor of that device.
Right. Chris, anything to add?
Tell us. You know you want to tell us. One more time, unless you tell us.
I think what we're going to be seeing is a lot of hardware updates, because you know, Intel's delayed their Ivy Bridge platform release. So basically, right around June, suddenly processors are going to be available to update MacBook Pros, Mac Minis, iMacs. I mean, everything. I expect I would not be surprised at all if in April, come April or May, there's a Mac Pro update too, because the Sandy Bridge E Xeons or Xenons, I'm sorry, were just released recently. So, you know, I think we're going to see a deluge of hardware updates here in the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
iReader, June 26th.
iReader, June 26th.
are you putting $40 on that one too?
Because based on the fact that you're going to miss on the, probably miss on the TV by May with Andy, are you looking for like a double or quits here on the $20?
No. I mean, I'm kind of actually a bit pissed about the TV. So it's, the TV's coming out. I just know it's coming out. Unfortunately, I think May 26th just doesn't, I personally don't feel like that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either.
I hope it does. But maybe they'll announce it at WWDC or something similar to it. I don't know. But the 7-inch iReader is what... Yep.
I think there's an interesting point here at the moment, because there's a coalescing of the rumors around resolutions and stuff. Chris mentioned there, you know, there's a lot of stuff up in the air over processors, yet Tim's still coming out with this idea there's more to come, there's tons in the pipe this year. And I think it's an exciting time. It really is. You know, if you're a Mac fanboy, there's a salivation that, I mean, it's almost like it's fueling the rumors to try and come out, isn't it? It's good for the hype.
Oh, yeah. It's good for Apple. It's good for the brand. It's of course they're going to say that. Who's going to get on stage? This is our only product this year. We hope everybody enjoys it. We'll see you next March. Thank you so much for coming.
That's a pretty good impression of Tim Cook, mate. that's not bad. Oh, apparently, as well, I found out this week one of our listeners is works at a university and does all the IT purchasing for him. And he got a visit from Apple sales, and the way he described it to me was like, "So, we've got the BagelTech Mac show. You know, I'm a big fan of them. And, you know, have you heard of them? Yes, we know about them." And I was like, that sounds more like two CIA men than it does bloody salesmen coming in and saying, yes, their card's been marked. Absolutely. They're in trouble.
Is that true?
That's true. The way it was related to me, I've spoken to him since, and apparently they said, no, we think it's good that there's a decent British Mac podcast out there. But okay. We've kind of thrown that one in the toilet today, haven't we? This slick as snot podcast and all the others on the network that are just as slick would not be possible without UK2.net. They are the people that that we love the most. Innovative, affordable and reliable web hosting. You can get domains from them. You can get dedicated servers, all kinds of stuff. And for 3 years now, they've been keeping us afloat. They've absorbed all the bandwidth for all of the shows for all of that period of time. We've got 4 new shows starting on 1st of April. One for iOS. We're hopefully getting a Welsh language podcast, so we'll be in a completely different language for the first time. And also, we're looking at bringing on as many podcasts as we can. So even if you're an overseas visitor, France, Germany, Philippines, Southern America, Africa, if you've got a native language podcast you want to bring out, then come put it on the network. We can suddenly change ourselves to the Empire Tech Network quite happily if you want. But UK2 are going to pick up all that bandwidth. They're going to support us. And they've got a competition running at the moment. They've got a fantastic piece of software called the UKSU Site Builder. And basically, if you sign up for a website, you use this piece of software. It's £2.49 a month. And it's very, very powerful software for manufacturing your own front-end website. If you do use this software, though, you can enter yourself into a competition. And someone votes and says that your website is the best. Then you go into a draw and you could win an iPad 2 at the moment. So get yourself over to UK2.net and have a go and try and get yourself an iPad 2. And then if you get an iPad 2, Kyle, you can buy an iPad 3 for extra $130.
I thought it says you vote and you could win the new iPad.
Oh, there's a new one, because it was originally iPad 2, but it's not. It's new iPad. Oh, it's 3.
You could win the new iPad.
Oh, yes. I've been underselling it. That's not like me. Bloody hell.
No,
not at all. Anyway, excuse me. As a BagelTech listener, you get 15% off your shopping cart. Offer code BagelTech, 15% off, and you don't pay DNS management charge because that's Bagel DNS, and that gets you £20 off. What a show. What a show. What an end to Bagel Tech this has been.
Well, yeah, it's part of the Empire Network, and Andy Anarko's our official radio broadcaster.
Andy's euphemism about burning the place down at the end of this may not be a million miles off, I'm telling you. Mr. Forsman, we'll do Cool Thingy. Have you got Cool Thingy for us?
I feel like this probably isn't news to anyone at this point. But I'm going to go ahead and mention Draw Something.
Right.
For 99, they have a free version, but I hate ads, so I always pony up the 99 cents. And it's a ridiculous game, but it's loads of fun. And here's the whole game. Here's the whole game. You get a list of three words: easy, medium, and hard. You pick one of those words, and then you draw it. And if the other person guesses what the drawing is supposed to, what the word is their drawing is supposed to mean, you get one, two, or three coins, and that is it.
That is
the whole game, and it's just so much fun because, I was an art student many, many years ago, and I was never such a great drawer, but. You know, when you get in there with your finger on the iPhone screen, sometimes things just don't come out quite right. It's easier to draw on the iPad if you've got a much bigger canvas. But I mean, just watching what your friends come up with as far as like their, not even just their drawing ability, but also you see their thought patterns and the way they're thinking about a word and what that image means to them, and it's it's completely worth 99 cents, and you know you can waste a lot of time with it and really have some fun.
Andy's nodding in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, someone introduced me to this game just like a week ago, and I've been playing it like on and off like ever since. And I have to say, it really is exactly like that. You just have fun just drawing and then seeing how other people like are going to interpret something. And I will say, without any sarcasm or any joking, like if I were to come to a list of the three things that three creative things I did in the month of March that I'm proudest of, definitely the 7-panel cartoon that I drew to explain the rapture. because I was like,
I had that word too. I had rapture too.
But what he didn't say is that like you get the really easy one, a medium one, and a really hard one. And it's like rapt. How do you get the word rapture? And I realized that what I've got to do is because you can tap the person who gets your drawing actually will see you drawing it, and like not in real time, but I'll just play back the experience of how it got drawn. And there's also a full page erase button. So basically, I started like doing panels of a cartoon of like people hanging out, and then this one guy in a shirt and tie, and then suddenly there's a cloud and a lightning bolt, and then there's just a shirt and his pants, and then another panel which God is like lifting him up into heaven, and then everyone's like, oh my God, what just happened? And then there's another lightning bolt, and the entire planet is on fire, and everyone's screaming.
did they get it? Did they get rapture?
And they got it. They got it. Unfortunately, though, it killed me because they got it by panel number 4. I'm like, there's more to the cartoon. You missed the hook.
Too soon.
I should have saved it. I should take a screenshot. It was beautiful.
Draw Something. Then there's the application. 99 cents, 69 pence in the iTunes store, and sounds fantastic. I'm just gonna get that straight away. I'll be playing that tomorrow on the photo walk without a question. Andy, what have you got for us?
This is a app that's been around for a little while. It's a VNC client from Adovia.com. It's on the App Store. It's called Screens, and it's available for pretty much everything. But it is really awesome, particularly on the new iPad. I've been talking about this before, I know, but it bears repeating that the new Retina display means that you can really use a full desktop from your iMac or from your MacBook, and without having to scrunch down pixels, without having to scroll around to cover all that sort of stuff. Screens bears mentioning because it's always been the one that had the nicest interface of the how do you approximate the fact that you don't have a mouse, you don't have a trackpad, and maybe you don't even have a keyboard put up. So it really does give you some very, very natural controls for basically turning the finger taps into actual mouse commands. Also, there's a row of function keys so that if you need to do like a command open, instead of navigating to the menu, the command key is sticky, then you bring up the virtual keyboard, then tap the O. And there are also shortcuts. I don't know if you can see it, but specifically for things like select all, cut, copy, paste, you don't even have to go as far as that. It always had, so it was always the nicest approximation, but it had one disadvantage in that it didn't really work well with Bluetooth keyboards. So, well, if you had a Bluetooth keyboard attached, you could type with it, but none of the command keys would work, none of the cursor keys would work. So I was talking about I was talking about this week because I wanted to recommend something, and magically this week they told me, oh, by the way, we just figured out how to do Bluetooth support of command and function keys. So now it really is like the total like BNC client that I've always wanted for the iPad. There's another app called iTeleport that's also really, really good that has always had Bluetooth keyboard support. But now that Bluetooth is supported by screens, this really is the one that I recommend.
Excellent pick. Is this the one that's $19.99?
$19.99.
Yeah, so now you got an evaluation copy, I take it.
I got an evaluation copy. I don't know if the new version is in the App Store yet. I think I'm running a beta right now. I have it right now. It works just fine. I'm guessing it through Apple's approvals process, and of course you'll be able to get a new one. And this really is the reason why I'm glad that I didn't buy. I was so tempted to get that MacBook Air last year, that 11-inch model for ultra portability. Now this is the reason why I'm glad that this is not as good as running macOS natively, but for those little cases in which I don't really need to take the MacBook with me, I just need to run Microsoft Word for maybe an hour for 2 days. This will certainly do me.
There's a version for Mac as well at $29.99 as well. But I mean, would you actually part with $19 for that now, of your own money? Yeah.
Yeah. As
that's fact, the endorsement.
Exactly. I mean, I get free things all the time. And actually, the worst case scenario is when I not only do I like it, not only do I say I recommend that people buy it, but after like I've written my review, I've also written whatever follow ups I'm going to review, and I find I'm still using it every single day, and I have to say, now I have to actually buy it because it wouldn't be ethical for me to accept a free copy of something that I rely on each and every day. Oh, damn it. Well, I have 20.
Ethics.
Ethics. I'm a slave.
Damn with ethics.
You don't know what a burden is. I'm a slave to my ethics. Absolutely. It's a damn unfailing moral compass.
That's why people love you, mate. That's it. That's why you took down our servers.
You were corrupt and I struck you down.
Mr. Swag. Oh, sorry. Sorry, man. Mr. Swagger, what have you got for us?
I've got two cool thingies, and the first one is just, I've had to say something about it the entire show. It's Andy Inoko's scream behind him. Squirrel! And... sorry, I've just noticed it, and I've had that going through my head the squirrel. Entire show.
And you didn't know why?
I know why, but my cool thingy is, it's probably been mentioned on the show before. I haven't been here in a month, so I'm not sure. It's called Flipboard, and it's a social magazine. It pulls in RSS feeds, news feeds. You can pull in Twitter feeds, your Facebook feed on this little app. I believe it's for the iPad too, and not meaning the two, as in for the iPad also. Let me put it that way. And for the iPhone, of course, I'm just using it on the iPhone now. I love the thing because it gives you, first, I just love how the app is. You know, you flip up next story, and I find myself endlessly reading even obscure things that I wouldn't normally do. And it's kind of a nice app that actually helps you find some good news for a change instead of all the crap that's going on right now in the world. So it's free. Hey, if it's free, I get it. So, and I just think it's a really good app. And even if it was 99 cents, I would still get it because I found it very on long trips or something as such, just going through every other story. I've really enjoyed the app, honestly. And like I said, there's a lot of different obscure stories you wouldn't see in a lot of other places.
I've heard it picks a lot of interesting stuff to come back to.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like Big Brother watching you or not, you know, because it seems like, oh, this story kind of seems, oh, yeah, I kind of like that. Oh, it seems to know what I like. So, you know, I don't know. 99 cents, though, if they did start charging for it, I definitely would have no problem. $1.29, though, no, that'd be pushing it for me.
It's a bit too much.
Yeah.
Tight ass.
Serious people.
I've got an anti-pick. The anti-pick, and I forgot the name of it because someone sent it to me and said you've got to try this, and it's song something or other. I keep wanting to say Songsmith, but I don't think it is Songsmith.
Oh God, I hope not.
No, because Songsmith was the knackered thing from Microsoft. Yeah. But this is like Songwriter or something like that. It's an iOS application where you just speak a phrase into it, and then it actually comes back with your words, spoken words, as though it was a song. So here's one I recorded earlier, which was this software's a nasty piece of crap, and just to see if it was. And it's quite catchy, I have to say. Just a second. Here we go.
This is on the Bagel Tech Anthology album.
This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap.
It does liven up.
This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap.
There's drums in a minute.
This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap. This program looks like a nasty piece of crap.
There you go. It's somewhat repetitive, I have to admit, but...
Yeah. How much is it?
It's free.
Oh, sweet. I'm
getting absolutely
that.
Free.
Dude, yeah. Auto tune the Bagel Tech right there.
And you can, but the thing is, this was the thing. So I got the thing down and I thought, I'll have a play with that. And I said, this thing looks like a nasty piece of crap. And that's it. It came out with that. And I thought, wow, this is brilliant. And every other phrase that I put in, it didn't do it. There's something to do with the pentameter. You need to hit that rhythm and then it fits. But there's four songs that you get free of charge. And then there's in-app purchases, which are 69p, which gets you different music styles and things like that to sit and play with. And you could seriously waste some money on it. But it was a bit of fun. There you go. It's called Songify. That's it. Songify app in the iTunes store. The real pick is Aaron Clayton gave me this on Monday night. It's Flick Rugby. Now, I was going to pick... Angry Birds Space, because I picked that last night and I've been playing it all day and it's addictive. But Flick Rugby is really addictive as well. It's got loads of other stuff now. Before, you just had the field goal games where you kind of kicked it through the posts and that was it with a swipe. Well, this thing makes you do kicks to touch and it makes you do things against the clock and it makes you go for different kicks and that kind of stuff. And it's fun and it's only 69p. So there you go. Flick Rugby. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Forsman?
If you must. You can get a hold of me via arstechnica.com, where I write all kinds of crazy tech writing. And I am on the Twitters at Forsmack.
Excellent. Mr. Anatko, where are you, sir?
If you can spell my last name, go to anatko.com. If you can't spell my last name, listen and write down the letters CWOB.com for the celestial waste of bandwidth. Has links to my Twitter, has links to my Flickr, has links to my blog and all the other kind of cool stuff.
Excellent, thanks, mate. And we're working on trying to get you over for the bash this year. We'll find a good reason.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you, if I got to mow a lawn, I'll mow it shoddily and ineptly, but I'll mow a lawn to get over there.
There is not a blade of grass in my house, mate. You'd love it.
I'll definitely mow your lawn.
No, we need to try and figure some stuff out. But you need to write a book to launch, and then I can bring you over and get the UK press in for that or something. That'd work.
Sure.
Mr. Swagger, where can we get you, pal?
You can find me at kyleswagger.com if you're looking for any voice work or of such, or you want me to do a Tim Cook impression.
NBA season's coming to an end now, so you got...
Well, we're fixing to hit playoffs here pretty soon, yeah. Shortened season, thanks to the strike. Love them guys, yeah. And, we're getting to that. And then, of course, the finals, is coming up. And then, of course, we got the WNBA, but we won't go there.
You're not touting out for baseball work?
No. I'm not a baseball fan, actually.
What's that going to do with work?
I'm a baseball fan. I don't know.
Just take the money. Know. Take the money.
No. You got to love what you do.
Oh, yeah, right.
If okay. It was NFL. No, seriously. If it was NFL, I'd jump at it as well. But no. I'm quite happy where I'm at. Also, you can find me on Twitter, by the way, at Kyle Swagger.
Cheers, mate. This podcast, the very last of the Bagel Tech podcasts, has come to an end. Next week, we'll be starting as British tech news for certain. We've kind of teased you with it the last few weeks, but the website will be up next week and all the bagel stuff will disappear. And you'll have to resubscribe in iTunes, but we'll give you loads of links for doing that. Don't worry. And we certainly provided a memorable show to finish it all off with.
I got to warn you, like, one thing straight off. This squirrel bows to no mortal king.
Okay. Wise words, dude. And when we get the new server up, Andy can come and take that one down as well.
There you go.
We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
I want to talk over the credits.
There is no credits to talk over, now, you see? That's why now I've learnt how to use Final Cut Pro, mate. You can get stuff. Mm-hmm. There's no talking over my credits, dude.